Hey, welcome back to Coffee Time with your host, ex-Google, ex-Facebook tech lead. So, wow, last week has been crazy. And we saw the great purge on social media where Trump and all of his supporters were essentially exiled from the digital world. And at this point, these large tech companies are pretty much saying, you know what, we've decided on a winner and we're just going to choose Joe Biden. And that's that. End of discussion. Now, I did not want to make a video about this, and I need to be careful with my words, otherwise this video and my whole channel could be taken down as well. But I wanted to give you my reactions on this and what I think this means for everybody. And what I'm going to do for you is pose a few questions, right? I'm just going to ask a few questions for you, maybe things to think about. But first of all, let's go over the damage that has been caused. Reddit has banned the subreddit group The Donald. Twitch banned Trump's channel. Shopify took down all of Trump's online stores. Twitter permanently banned Trump's account with, I think it had over 90 million followers on there, along with his other close associates on there. Google pulled down Parler, which is a social media app for conservatives, whereas Twitter tends to be really more left-leaning for the Democrats. YouTube has accelerated enforcement action on election misinformation. Facebook banned Trump's account. Snapchat did as well. TikTok has been removing any hashtags like Storm the Capitol, Patriot Party. Apple suspended Parler from the Apple App Store. Google did as well. Discord banned the server The Donald so that there's no more discussions on this. Pinterest has been limiting hashtags. Amazon AWS ceased hosting the Parler app, taking offline, and then Stripe is no longer processing payments for Trump's campaign, which really limits its fundraising capabilities. And hey, that's just the start. There's going to be more to come. Now, maybe they were right. Maybe these actions were done justifiably. Or who knows, right? Maybe there's a 1% chance that they were wrong. Maybe this wasn't the right call. But what I like to think about is not in terms of right or wrong, but you take it to another level more abstractly. Like, we don't know what's right or wrong. Generally in discussions, I'm not just going to presume that I'm right. You know, I could be wrong, and I'm open to that. And so what we really want to do is take a look at the process, the system for justice that we are creating here and setting precedent for, and not really taking a look at, well, because we were right, we're able to take these actions, because hey, next time we could be wrong. So it doesn't really matter what's right or what's wrong. It is the system and process that we are establishing here. And really, one question for you that brings us to our first question, who gets to decide, right? Who gets to decide what's right, what's wrong? And why is it that these people get to decide? And so let's take a look at one scenario. When Facebook decided to ban Trump's account, they wrote up this blog post. Well, let's see who made the call here. Well, here we see good old Mark Zuckerberg saying that the shocking events of the last 24 hours clearly demonstrates that Trump intends to use his remaining time in office to undermine the peaceful and lawful transition of power to his elected successor, Joe Biden. Now, that is Mark Zuckerberg's opinion, I'm sure President Trump would beg to differ. In fact, I did see a number of Trump's recent posts on Twitter before he was banned from there too, calling for peace, asking everybody to be peaceful, and that's an indisputable fact. And then we can see that this blog post was authored by Guy Rosen, VP of Integrity, and Monica Bickert, VP of Global Policy Management. Huh. So these three people, I presume, made the call? Well, who are they? Were they elected officials? Did we elect them to have the power to silence the president? I don't remember electing these people. In fact, I would say these VPs were probably appointed or they had the approval of Mark Zuckerberg. And then Mark Zuckerberg pretty much just has the final call on this, right? And he's just some random garage programmer, no different than me, right? I could have become Mark Zuckerberg if I wanted to. It wouldn't have been very hard to do so. And you know what? This is something that at least last year, Facebook, to their credit, they noticed. They announced back last year in 2020 that they wanted to establish this Supreme Court for content moderation, and it would be this independent oversight committee with a bunch of neutral parties. Well, I don't know what happened to these people. What happened to this oversight board? It was supposed to be this neutral, independent group of people. But no, it seems like, at least in this blog post, it was just these three people perhaps who had made the call. I don't know where the rest of the people went. Like, where are our elected officials? And, you know, the same thing really goes for, say, Twitter. Like, I think that call was probably just by the CEO or just a board meeting of a bunch of people who really probably wanted to please the CEO, Jack Dorsey. Maybe they didn't want to get fired. Maybe they feared cancel culture. They wanted their high-paying salaries. They're just capitalists. Or maybe not. Maybe they were really looking out for everybody, right? Maybe they had all of our interests at heart. But we don't really know. And there's really no system in place to guarantee any of this. And so at the end of the day, it seems to me that who's really making the call is just some random tech CEOs, And these are just people who managed to make a bunch of money and gain power that way. Like, they knew how to play the market. They maybe have some programming skills or business or marketing skills, but I'm not sure if that's the same thing as having the public interest at heart. A lot of these tech CEOs, their priority is maintaining the status quo, and anything that does not disrupt the system, that just helps them to continue building up their profits, or perhaps any type of political stance side that is going to support their tech agendas, is going to be whichever party they're going to support. And generally, we've seen that, for example, Trump has been quite critical of tech companies. And so therefore, the tech companies decided, maybe in concerted effort, that, hey, Trump shouldn't be president, or at least they're not supporting him. And that's one way to look at the story. Now, I could be totally wrong. I could be wrong about that. But doesn't it concern you that, what if one day, maybe 10, 20 years from now, there were a presidential elect candidate who's trying to run for office who says that he wants to dismantle the big tech companies because they have too much power? And then the tech companies can just say, okay, we're just going to silence you because you're not going to help us out. You're not going to support us. So we're just not going to let you use any of our tech services and essentially silence you. And you won't be able to build up a digital campaign this way. And this just may be an inordinate amount of power that these tech companies have in an age where everything is digital. Now, my second question for you to consider is, just what if they're wrong? You know, they're saying that the election, it was fair and we should just move on. But maybe there's a 1% chance that really there was fraud and this was the wrong call. Well, who's going to be able to fight against that? Who's going to be able to speak up against that and fight the good fight? Maybe there should be at least room for people to have a discussion, build a movement, contest the election results, verify the integrity of it, or maybe not. Maybe the discussion should not even be had. Right? Maybe we should just say, you know what? It's been decided already by the Dominion voting machines, and these machines, they're flawless, they're perfect, and there's no use to inspect them or check them. You know, they're legit. So let's just stop wasting everybody's time and just move forward. Although it is kind of hypocritical, maybe strange, because I know in the past 4 years, the Democrats had always been challenging Trump's right to be president. They were saying that maybe he should be impeached. And now they're saying, you know what? If we have a president, we shouldn't be challenging that, right? Like, let's just accept the election results. And as I've mentioned, when personally, for me, when I'm in an argument with somebody, I'm not going to presume I'm right. I say black, they say white, and I kind of expect the result to be somewhere in the middle, maybe a gray, or maybe we're going to hash it out and maybe I will buy into their side, or I will be able to convince them that I'm right. But I'm not going to just go in there assuming that I'm right and therefore I have the authority to make and pass judgment and to be able to execute on that righteousness in the name of justice, because hey, I could be wrong. And you know what it's like, at least in the United States, last I recall, we are innocent until proven guilty. And generally speaking, right or wrong is not something that any of us can just decide. Usually that's something decided in court by a judge or by a jury. And otherwise, you cannot really just presume that you're in the right, that you'll be able to make the right call. Because as you know, in the past, we have made collectively so many poor decisions. If you just recall, like 50 years ago, slavery was a full-blown thing. Everybody thought that slavery was good. It was a great thing to have. Maybe it was longer than that, actually. But generally, as a society, we do have blind spots. We used to think that women shouldn't vote. We used to smoke cigarettes all the time. If you recall, the tobacco industry was absolutely huge. And just imagine what would have happened if the tobacco industry was in charge of elections, or if they had power over communications. Well, they would probably still be pretty big today, and they'd be telling everybody that smoking is good and healthy for them, and they would just continue prolonging that myth. Everybody in the world would be smoking cigarettes, and it would be incredibly hard for any individual to challenge them, because people just simply cannot organize if communications are shut down. And so one potential concern at this point is that we no longer have a discussion. You know, all discussions are censored. Should the elections be verifiable? Doesn't matter. No one can talk about it. You know, here it says Facebook is now removing content containing the phrase "stop the steal" under their coordinating harm policy from Facebook and Instagram. So they removed the Stop the Steal group. They removed pages, groups, events that violate any of their policies, including calls for violence. Now, of course, any call for violence should absolutely be halted. But I kind of have a feeling that what if we're just saying, hey, you know what, maybe there's a call for violence and we're just going to remove that, even though many people aren't even calling for violence, right? You can kind of hide behind that and just say, oh, this is a violence, and use that as a shield to protect yourself and defend your actions to just shut people down. Who knows? Maybe, maybe not. I'm not saying one way or another, but how would you hold anybody accountable, even if they're just removing pages? Maybe there's some person out there who's just a real Democrat supporter working at Facebook, and they just decided that they wanted to remove all these groups. And you know what? It's their call in the end. And the amount of power they have just seems pretty high. And it does come to question, should there be a discussion, and should any political discussion be censored or banned? Now, the next question to consider is, what precedent does this set? So the way that we handle this election essentially establishes a precedent for the way we're going to handle every future election as well. And you know what? In the future, people will just come back to the 2020 elections and say, well, we did it back in 2020 and nobody complained, right? That was okay. People seemed good with that, so we're going to continue doing that in the future as well. And that's just the precedent that this has forward. And so, for example, here are a few questions to consider. Should all future discussions and arguments relating to politics be decided by FAANG companies? Are they the moderators? And they can choose to shut down any discussion that they would like to shut down. Because they did it this time, couldn't they do it in the future as well? Another question. Can tech companies take sides in an election? Can they just decide, you know what? They don't like the Republican candidate in 2024, so they're just going to silence him. They think that this candidate is, for whatever reason, unqualified, incompetent. So they're going to say, you know what, they're just not going to accept any advertising campaign dollars from the Republicans in 2024, and they're only going to support the Democrats. Or maybe they'll support the Republicans only next year, just depending on whichever side that they feel it's going to be better for business. Do they have the right to make that call? And hey, they're certainly private entities. I think legally they do have the right to take sides if they choose to. It's their platform, they can do whatever they want. So do they have any requirement to be neutral, considering how much information control and power that they have? They can control and influence so many people out there. It seems like a overextended use of power to give them that without any restraint. Another question that's kind of bothered me for a while is, why does free speech not extend to the digital domain? So the Constitution guarantees with the First Amendment that we do have freedom of expression. You can say anything you want. For example, you can say that you want to stop the steal in real life, and nobody's going to send you to jail for that. But if you were to try to say that on Facebook or Instagram, your post would be disallowed. They would ban your post, and they may even ban your account. And hey, if cancel culture found you, they could even get you fired. Amazon, AWS can come after you. Stripe can shut down all of your accounts. PayPal could stop accepting funds for you, and you could even be banned on TikTok. So your digital life would essentially be destroyed, although your physical life would still be protected under the First Amendment. And it just seems strange to me that this constitutional right to be able to speak your mind is really only a concept that is valid in the physical space. However, in the digital space, because all of these tech companies tend to be private, the First Amendment does not extend to that. And so they can just determine whatever you are allowed and not allowed to say. And so we have full censorship in effect in the digital space. And it just seems somehow not in the spirit of the Constitution that people no longer can say what they want to say in the digital space, especially in an era where everything has become digital. All of our communications are digital these days. And so one question, or perhaps a proposal, is that perhaps any internet platform that enables communication must abide by the First Amendment to enable and guarantee freedom of speech and expression. Anything that people are allowed to say in physical real life should be something that people are allowed to say in the digital space as well. So for example, you cannot just yell fire and cause a stampede and cause somebody to die from that. And so similarly in the internet space, you also cannot just spread fake news and potentially cause real life harm, online internet bullying. You know, that should clearly be outlawed. But as far as challenging election integrity, just asking questions, you know, were the results really valid? Was something going up with those? And then asking those questions and having them answered such that everybody can see transparently, okay, the results were clearly verified and everybody can be happy with that. Should a question like that also be censored just because people want to move on with the elections and they just don't want to entertain any more thoughts? You know, maybe some people just, they like the winner that came out in the end and they just want to roll with it. They want to keep that and they don't want to keep changing things around. Is that reason enough to just be able to start censoring people? And you know, I can't help but wonder what would have happened if Trump won? And then there were riots and protests outside the Capitol building. Would the social media companies also shut all of those riots and discussions down and say, you know what, Trump won, let's just move on with it? Would they have supported him that way? And then my last question for you, and maybe you can let me know in the comments below, is does silencing people actually ever work? Right? Like, you take a look at 70 plus million people who had voted for Donald Trump, which is a lot of people. And so these people, they've mostly been silenced and probably somehow scarred by this experience, right? Because in their minds, in some people's minds, they feel that the election probably wasn't fair. So do you think they're going to put their differences aside now, support Joe Biden and unify the country? Or do you think there's going to be more polarization, division? And what are they going to do in future elections too? Do you think they're going to continue participating or just feel that, hey, this election, it was stolen for those people who seem to think so? Maybe, maybe it wasn't. But for those who did, you know, like you remember when people would say, your vote matters, go out and vote because your vote makes a difference. Well, now they're telling everybody to just shut up, basically. And, you know, like, let's not count the votes anymore. Let's just not even check those anymore. And let's not have a discussion about it. And who knows? Maybe they're right. Maybe they're wrong. Maybe it's time to move on and just kind of maintain the peace and go forward as peacefully as we can and just unite and move everything forward. But I don't know. I have no idea what I'm talking about because I don't want to get banned on YouTube. And all I do know is that we are living in unprecedented, dangerous times right now, and you never want to start a fight that you cannot win. And you know what? The other thing is, if you can't beat them, you could join them. Maybe buy some stock in Google, Facebook, Twitter, Amazon. Sit out on the sidelines and look for the next opportunity where you might have a chance to improve the world for the better. So that'll do for me. Hope you enjoyed the episode. If you did, please give it a like. Really appreciate that. Let me know your thoughts in the comments below. I'd love to see that. I'll see you there, and I'll see you in the next one. Thanks. Bye.